the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You're listening to Wake Up. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
And it's not Monday.
It's not Monday.
That's right. It feels like it.
You bet. Hey, I want to give a special shout out to all those air conditioning technicians and parapeople. Oh, we love you. Oh, thank you so much for climbing up into our attics and keeping our families cool, man. I tell you what.
But, what a job.
Woo, yeah, man, my goodness. Well, let's start our day off in prayer. We're going to remember St. Anthony Zachariah today. He's our saint of the day. But let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you've blessed us with the ability to create a just society where freedom and liberty have been obtained at a great cost. Let us never forget that this freedom and liberty begins and ends with the victory over the cross by your only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May we, your church, continue to build the city of God upon him as our true light through all the challenges that we face, both as a nation and as a family, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to sanctify and to empower us to do your will. We pray this in your holy name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Anthony Zachariah, pray for us.
Pray for us. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but we are joined by Johnny's Gospel Reflection coming up in about 5 minutes. Always looking forward to your take on today's gospel and your insights, Johnny. It's always a great reflection. We're joined by some great guests today, starting off with Peter Finney. He's the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today, Peter is going to be updating us on what you'll be finding in this week's issue in the Archdiocese. In 35 minutes, Dina Dow joins us. She is the director of evangelization and catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And always looking forward to Dina joining David in the Baton Rouge studio today. We're talking about the Eucharistic revival in the diocese. And in 48 minutes, Cody Roth joins us. He is a singer and songwriter in the Diocese of Biloxi. And we're going to be talking about the power of music and also some new songs he has coming up. So we're talking to the Diocese of Baton Rouge, the Diocese of Biloxi, and the Archdiocese of New Orleans today.
We're running the gamut.
If you have a diocese, let us know. looking forward to today's show. Also, if you have an event you want to promote on Catholic Community Media, you can submit your event for free today at our website. You can go to CC Radio or ccmedia.live and click on News and Events. Click on Submit Your Event, and we will talk about it on the radio, on our morning show, and also post the event on our website. So a wonderful way to promote your event absolutely free. We want to tell everyone about it. You can also check our calendar because we have a plethora of events on there.
A plethora.
That's one of my favorite words, and when I can use it, I'll use it. Definitely check it out because there's a lot of stuff going on. Camps, retreats, you know, different talks, reflections, fairs, anything that you can possibly imagine is probably on the calendar, so definitely check that out.
Crab Fests, because you went on one of those.
I was at the Our Lady of the Gulf Crab Fest in Bay St. Louis for the 4th of July weekend, and it was awesome. It was so great.
Yes. Yeah,
so
that's the kind of word we like to get out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, stay tuned. We have your gospel and reflection coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker, and here's today's Gospel. When Jesus came into the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away, and when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon the whole town came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Yes, it was interesting about this eighth chapter of Matthew. It has these five powerful miracles, and this one today is the last of those five. But these aren't put in random order. Matthew actually makes these build in terms of Jesus' divine power. So remember earlier, Jesus had healed a leper who was a Jew. Then he branches out and heals a Gentile, the centurion's servant. Then he goes in and heals Peter's mother-in-law. So he's in the home, but then all these many, many come to him all day long, and he heals all of them. So now he's reaching the whole world. The next miracle was this, you know, where Jesus rebukes the sea, showing his power over creation. And now, in the gospel today, he shows his power over hell and all of its minions. So it's that building. But, you know, I think on a personal level, you know, when you look at that, we should look at this like if we trust the Lord in these first, in these small things in our life, our faith and our trust will grow to a point when hopefully we let him be Lord over everything in our life. The flip side of though this is the more we do grow in the Lord, the more the evil one desires us. He wants us to claim us like a great trophy, you know. So today, you know, I thought we would just, let's put ourselves on that road with Jesus as he confronts evil and see how do we handle evil. The first thing you notice in this gospel is it happens on the road to one of these Gentile cities. So it's like that spiritual realm between the religious and the secular worlds. Sort of like when you step out of church, but you step into the mess of everyday life, you know. It's the battleground of its day and ours too. And so these demoniacs, they're coming out of these tombs and they immediately know who Jesus is. They call him the Son of God. And they admit that Jesus has power over him, so they throw in the towel. They pretty much no contest. So how do we recognize evil and avoid it? You notice just as then, evil comes from these places of death. It has this agenda of despair all about it. And it has this sense of it uses fear and isolation to block any progress on the road to spiritual progress. And so we can recognize evil so many ways. One is this lack of fruit. You know, it has nothing life-giving about it. And then you also have this sense of desolation or bitterness, and it distracts you from prayer. It just sucks out the joy, you know? Here's the other kind of one that you can use. Evil has this preoccupation with our senses and our emotions. It kind of devolves us in a way. It feels like less than human. But also, evil can be really clever by disguising, you know, its goals with this virtuous clothing and words. So we have to make sure we're examining our motives real closely, real honestly. The good news of the gospel today is that the demons are helpless before a soul that radiates the power of Jesus and calls upon his name rather than relying on ours. And that's why it's so crucial, right, to remain in a state of holiness through the sacraments. Other good news is they know that the other side, time is on our side. The demons ask Jesus if Jesus will torment them before the time. They know their time is short, and so they're desperate. And so you notice how Jesus handles this. He casts out these demons. He puts them into this herd of pigs, rushes them over this cliff and into the sea. The pigs, of course, represent or were considered by Jews to be unclean, unholy. And the sea, of course, was considered to be the dwelling place of chaos or evil. So Jesus doesn't negotiate here with evil. He vanquishes it back to hell. He saves the souls of the men and clears the road for him and for us to continue on our own road to glory. And so you start thinking about, what about us? We should not negotiate with Satan either. The best way to combat this is to never pretend that his intentions are good. We have to perceive the end that's being sought here and not the means, which may sound okay at first, but evil just keeps chipping away at it. So if like today, you might hear things start off evil, and they'll say, well, this thing that we want to do won't affect you at all. Mm. And then next you'll hear, well, you just need to tolerate this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then soon it's like, you must celebrate this. Mm-hmm. And then when it's too late, you hear, you must accept this as the new moral norm or face the consequences. Mm. You know, someone said, you know, the evil one crafts this type of so-called tolerance like a wolf preparing his own dinner. You know, he's kind of setting things up.
Wow.
But guys, I wanted to talk about this on a personal level. You know, how do you deal with that? This evil in a personally one-on-one. You know, there's that old saying that we must love the sinner, but you hate the sin. Respect the person, but not the lie. So, you know, the dialogue can go like this. We can say, look, I love you. I respect you. But what you're doing is objectively wrong and immoral. I know you mean well, but the results of what you are advocating will only lead to unhappiness, to corruption, to poverty, sickness, even death, and especially most to be feared, even hell. And we could say, this isn't our opinion. It's not us shoving our religion down, you know, your throat, anything like that. It's speaking the truth out of authentic love because we want the best for you. Mm-hmm. And of course, the best option, the best approach is just to tell your own love story. You know, tell what the Lord has done for us and offer a better way through our example. But the last warning here is, you know, just like the city folks that came out to beg Jesus to leave after he'd done all this good thing, is that this is going to happen to us too when we take any kind of approach. As loving as we may want to be, we're going to be called all kinds of names, you name it, you know. But all we can say is, like in the Gospels today, was there's at least two people in the Gospel who thank the Lord for his power, and that's the two men who were possessed mm-hmm. and are now free. So we just have to remember, you know, if we can save one soul or help one soul, it's worth it. Tough Gospel today, right, guys?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. It leaves me with even more questions, but you and I can talk about that later, Johnny. So.
Well, stay with us. We're going to talk with Peter next. Peter Finney, Editor-in-Chief with the Clarion Herald. Let's find out what's happening in our area. Stay with us. It's 4:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 5th. Today we celebrate St. Anthony Zacharia. Among the early figures in the Catholic Counter-Reformation movement, Anthony Zacharia was born in Italy in 1502. His widowed mother devoted herself to her son's spiritual education. Anthony received a medical doctorate at 22, and while working among the poor in his small town, he was attracted to religious work. Renouncing his rights to any future inheritance, Anthony worked as a catechist and was ordained a priest at the age of 26. Called to Milan a few years later, Anthony founded the Barnabite Order for Men and a Congregation for Women, both aimed at reforming the decadent society of their day. He preached with great vigor in church and street, conducted popular missions, and was not ashamed of doing public penance. Anthony encouraged such innovations as the collaboration of the laity and the apostolate, frequent communion, 40 hours devotion, and the ringing of church bells at 3:00 on Fridays. His holiness moved many to reform their lives. Anthony died in 1539 at age 36. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19:15. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. Our next guest, or our first guest today, is Peter Finney. Peter is the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Peter. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Gabby. Glad to be here.
Well, we're looking forward to this week's issue because we're starting off with such a great story. We're talking about Venerable Henriette Delisle, and I have to say the Archdiocese has such devotion to Venerable Henriette Delisle. Can you tell us a little bit about where she is in the path to sainthood?
Sure, and just a little background. Henriette Delisle, most people know that she founded the Sisters of the Holy Family in 1842 in New Orleans, pre-Civil War New Orleans, her mission was to educate the enslaved and also take care of the elderly and the poor. And at the time, the laws were you could not teach black children, any kind of thing because it was against the law. She felt, compelled by God to do this. And her congregation still exists. They're a wonderful. The Sisters of the Holy Family are tremendously involved in education, even to this day. She was, her cause for sainthood started in 1988. And in 2010, she was declared venerable by the Congregation of the Cause for the Causes of Saints. And since then, there have been some. What needs to happen in order for her to be beatified is to have a miraculous recovery that is viewed to be outside of medical knowledge or any kind of medical intervention. And there is an alleged miracle that's currently being investigated in Little Rock of a woman who was seriously ill. Her family, prayed to Venerable Henriette Delisle, and she got well. So that's the alleged miracle that is currently being investigated. And the big news is the sisters have obtained the services of a new procurator in Rome, Dr. Waldery Hildeman. He's in his 40s, so he's got a lot of time. He's got a lot of cases that he's involved in. In fact, he just has helped Sister Mary Lang become venerable with the castrate for the cause of the saints. And so he's very well known at the congregation. He loves the cause of Henriette Delisle. And Sister Sylvia Thibodeau and Dr. Virginia Gould went to Rome in January on the advice of Cardinal Peter Turkson and said, hey, we would like you to be the new procurator, the person kind of involved, the point person in Rome. So it's got some momentum, and Sister Sylvia is saying that things are looking good. So obviously it's been a long time. 1988 was when the cause began. We're now in 2023, but it takes time, and they are praying for the day, the sisters are, that Henriette Delisle is declared blessed.
That is amazing. Is she buried in New Orleans?
Yes, she is. And that was one of the part of the investigation. She was buried along with others. The sisters had a tomb where they were buried whenever sisters died from the congregation. And so she was buried in that tomb in New Orleans.
That is incredible. Looking forward to hearing more about this and seeing how the process continues on. It's just absolutely amazing. So that would be so cool. Another New Orleans saint, mm-hmm. A real New Orleans saint. So really cool. Thank you so much, Peter. Well, let's talk about Mount Carmel Sister Beth Fitzpatrick. I hear about her all the time. What is she doing? What is she up to?
She's one of my all-time favorite persons, not just nuns. She's a great person. For the last 9 years, she has been the head of the Office of Religious, which is kind of like the liaison with the Archbishop. All the religious men and women in the Archdiocese, and there's hundreds of them, who belong to different congregations and communities. And so she has served in that role for 9 years. She's getting ready to step down from that role, but she just reflected a little bit on her life and how God called her. She was the head of the Sisters of Mount Carmel for about 13 years, from 2005, right before Katrina, all the way through the recovery. And she said she kind of found out that it was a very difficult time of ministry because obviously things were just thrown into turmoil. But she said, if you are loved, you can do anything. And she felt God's, she always felt God's presence in the midst of chaos, in the midst of troubles. And she always felt that strong, the pull, that God was in control. And it's funny, she loves poetry, she loves reading, but she talked about, we live in such crazy times. Everybody, knows that. And she says one of the things she tries to do is that she clings to that Old Testament verse, "Be still and know that I am God." And she says, "It's not Beth is not God. You know, you're not God. Nobody else is God. God is God, and God is going to take care of us." And that's what she clings to. And she also used the image in a poem she found. A lot of times we'll go to prayer, and our mind is not focused on God. It's like a minnow flickering, darting here and there. Why can't my mind, you know, focus on God, even for like 10, 15 minutes? And so she suggests that, you know, the daily times of prayer to really help people get through any kind of maybe anxiety or you know, feelings of whatever feelings they're going through. It's so important to turn to God. So she's just a wonderful example of a woman religious who has done great work and is just and she's just loved by everyone who knows her.
That's amazing. Looking forward to reading more about that story on Sister Beth Fitzpatrick. Well, let's also talk about Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. We talked to Sister Marjorie Hebert once a month to get an update on the things that Catholic Charities is up to in the Crescent City. And there is a program that teens are encouraged to participate. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And this is what young parents with teens in school, you know, always be looking for. Teens always need service hours. Catholic Charities has a program called the Serve Camp. And the second session runs from July 17th to the 21st. And it's not just service. Let me just put in my hours and, you know, get my check off a box. The kids actually, they get involved with direct service. And the July 17th session is going to be at the Shirley Landry Benson Pace Center. It's the former St. Cecilia Church, where elderly people who have health needs, they come kind of like for daycare, and medical issues are evaluated. And so the kids are going to, you know, get to know them. They're going to play games with them. They're going to interact with them, eat with them, you know, help them to, you know, get outside. And so there'll be that direct one-on-one service with the elderly. And, you know, then they're going to do, like, reflection. What does this mean, you know, what does this mean in my life? You know, how can I help others? So it's a great service opportunity, and it's beyond just, you know, doing service hours. This is a fantastic thing. Cindy Self is the person involved with Catholic Charities, the Serve program. And if you want to have more information, you can email her at Self, S-E-L-F, at ccano.org. Cself at ccano.org. And she can answer any questions you might have.
Awesome. Definitely check that out. Well, let's talk about some things happening, of course, continuing over, but with seminarians. Father David Ducote, one of my favorite priests over in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, has a new responsibility. So tell us a little bit about what he'll be doing.
He does. As of July 1st, he will be the director of seminarians. And that's kind of like a liaison, the priest, the kind of a mentor priest who checks in with the seminarians, in this case, at Notre Dame Seminary, who are studying for the priesthood for the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And it's a chance for a priest to kind of, in a very informal way, get to know the guys, get to know them at a really deeper level, and talk about how are things going, you know, in their discernment, in their formation, you know, if there's any issues or challenges that the mentor priest can kind of say, hey, let's talk about it, and also you know they can you know help in working through those kind of things. And Father Ducote is taking over for Father Billy O'Riordan, who's the St. Anne pastor, and Father Billy has done this for the last 9 years, done it really, really effectively. And it's just a chance for, you know, an older priest who's actually been in a parish, knows a lot of things that come up in the priest's daily life, and how can you help, you know, the seminarian who's preparing and praying for, you know, for the priesthood one day. So it's a great thing, and I thought that Dakota's going to do a great job. After Ida, he was, you know, tremendous in St. Joan of Arc when they really got hit hard in neighborhoods. You get a lot of outdoor masses. The blue roofs were on the houses, but he was celebrating mass in the backyards of parishioners, you know, so he's a great priest, and I know he'll do a great job.
Yes, he's super fun to talk to, very personable, and I, you know, he's just a great priest. So looking forward to seeing what he has ahead and praying for him as well. Peter, where can we find or pick up our copy of the Clarion Herald in New Orleans this weekend?
Sure. Gabby, it'll be at every Mass in the Archdiocese of New Orleans this weekend, and it is online, the electronic edition, at clarionherald.org. And now, the electronic edition, I think it got delayed maybe about one day with the July 4th holiday, but it should be up later today.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Peter Finney, Editor-in-Chief of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. You can go to clarionherald.org. Thanks so much, Peter.
Thank you, Gabby.
All right. Dina Dow with the Diocese of Baton Rouge joins David in our studio. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Past the hour. You tune your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson along with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert. And we have Dina Dow in studio with us this morning. Good morning, Dina.
Good morning, everybody.
And you are with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. We got a lot to talk about because
a lot
of big stuff is going on, especially with the Eucharistic revival.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this has been we have been involved with it for over a year and a half now.
It's already been a year and a half?
Well, it's been pretty much.
Well, y'all have been involved. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So Father Matthew Dunn is the diocesan point person and coordinator for the core team. Mm-hmm. And so there's three of us from the Office of Evangelization serving on that core team, and then including Dr. Brian Pedraza, who's an amazing professor at FRANU.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nicole Jones, who's our beautiful media manager at the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So we meet every other week in prayer for an hour before the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. And then we go about our discernment of what the Lord's calling us to do as far as moving this forward and getting this through into like ourselves as personal conversions and encounters with Christ.
Okay.
And then serving our priests and then our parish staff.
Right.
So the first year, the main focus is leadership. So it's diocesan leadership and it's parish leadership.
Okay.
So last year the priests themselves had, you know, two opportunities of formation and discernment plus holy hours.
All right.
In addition to that, Bishop Duca.
So when you say when the priests have formation, it is formation concerning
the Eucharist. Yeah. So Dr. Neal came and spoke with them.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful.
A lot of opportunities for them to grow. And they themselves had holy hours. Priests only holy hours, which is beautiful. And then Bishop Duca, many of you know, went around the diocese and regionally and hosted holy hours for Bishop Duca. It was beautiful, well-received.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
So right now we are halfway through what we would call the parish staff team retreats. So this is where the core team presents an encounter with Jesus Christ with parish staff. So we're talking pastor and everyone on the staff, the business manager.
Are you able to do that with each parish?
No. We're doing it regionally.
Oh,
so
okay,
we have
good,
four. Good. We have to add an additional one, five, because they've been overflowing. So we've done one in St. Mary's in New Roads with about 40 people. And then moving into Baton Rouge, we had about 150.
Okay.
At the last one, we have one coming up this week, tomorrow at St. Margaret's, with about 100 people coming.
Wonderful.
And then we'll host one again at Manresa. So we're traveling the diocese regionally so that those local parish teams can come in and not have traveled so far to come to Baton Rouge. There's a few of them that haven't participated because of timing, priest changes. So we'll do a fifth one. So these are retreats of opportunities of encounter where the entire core team, Eucharistic Revival core team, is moving the parish staff team into an encounter with Jesus Christ through Lectio, through adoration, through prayer, team prayer together, so that when they get back into their parish and the parish resources start coming through, they're having encounters with Christ in the Eucharist, and therefore they are better equipped and empowered to be able to move out.
Like a ripple effect going here.
Beautiful.
In other words, it starts with
the
you guys
feedback
at first.
And our priests have been a part of that with their team, because some parish staff meet weekly or more than weekly and pray together.
Yes.
Some don't. You know, it just depends, dynamics and timing. And so the movement is for our parish teams to come together in prayer and encounter Jesus Christ in the Eucharist through word and sacrament. So it's been beautiful. The next movement, mm-hmm. right, of the revival, because a revival is not a one and done. Right.
Well,
it's
no,
not a
no,
year
because,
of faith, year of mercy.
It's I guess where we're leaving off right now life. Is you've got all the staffs, they're fired up and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then,
the movement ripple outs okay. into an invitation for the faithful to come together yeah. as a Eucharistic community. So what does that look like?
That is, you know, that's.
I was just hearing Peter Finney talk about the sister, the Mount Carmel, the Carmelite
yes.
sister talking about, you know, where do you encounter Jesus Christ in those personal, private prayer moments, but you also encounter the Lord definitively in the Mass.
Yeah.
And so how are we equipped as missionary disciples to go out into the world and bring Christ Jesus to all, to invite them to experience the Lord in the Holy Mass?
Right.
And in adoration specifically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just, you know, just the conversion. And even those of us on the core team have had moments of conversion and inspiration of just intentionality
yeah.
of spending time with the Lord in prayer. And anything and everything that we do. So it's just been very powerful.
So really what we're talking about overall is Eucharistic awareness. In other words, Christ
yeah.
is present in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
He is there.
Yeah.
And this is something we've gotten away from or we've gotten weak at, right?
Yeah, I'm weak, I guess maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe taking it for granted.
I think
that's kind of more of a thing. I think people believe. I mean, the surveys are out, and people don't attend Mass. They say that, you know, 30% or so, you know, believe in the real
right,
presence,
right.
and the rest is kind of like, I don't know.
Yes.
But I think at the heart of it, people are always, always called to the sanctuary, to the church. There's
mm-hmm.
just something there that we cannot put our finger on.
When yes,
people
something
come
is
in.
Going on there.
Yeah, yeah, and so there's this draw, right? Because
right,
we're always searching and seeking for truth, and ultimately the Lord is always calling us to Him, right?
Yes.
Always.
Right.
I mean, when I worked in the parish, there was a young woman that passed by every day, and she always wanted to go into the church. I'm like, well, why do you want to go into the church? It's
mm-hmm.
just a building. She goes, is it just a building? I'm like, ah, it's not just a building. You know, so introducing her to, you know, the belief in the presence, the real presence of Jesus. And so it's been beautiful. All of this movement is to create such a substantial community of faith.
Yes.
Moved by the Holy Spirit, because by God's grace, like, conversion will happen, belief will happen, because we don't have faith because we just like snap our finger and okay, I believe. It's like by the grace of God we have faith.
Right.
And those graces are poured upon us through the sacraments. And so that awareness of just being present in Mass, being present in adoration.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are times where a lot of people are like, I feel like I need to go to adoration. I'm like, if you feel like you need to go,
yeah,
to adoration, you need to go to adoration.
Right.
I feel like I need to go to church. I'm like, if you feel like you need to go, then you need to go. Because those to me are called, I call them holy nudges
right.
of movement. But it's more than that. Like, our life, like in our veins runs our Lord Jesus.
Yes.
In
we're
the sacrament.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a matter of like, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to be Jesus to you. It's that I'm going to go out, and because the Lord is within, right, because it's going to be a natural movement for me to love you and want to tell you about my friend Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's right. it becomes that a part of, such a part of your life. Just like I'm introducing my dad or my mom to someone.
Right.
It's like, well, can I tell you about the Lord? And that takes time.
Sure.
It takes confidence. It takes knowing the Lord through
mm-hmm.
sacred scripture. And then, and just the constant prayer and understanding that the Lord is with us. Today's gospel is like remarkable. You
oh,
know,
yes, sure.
There are hard things. There's going to be attacks, you know,
mm-hmm.
Spiritually. But we don't have to be afraid. You know, there's nothing to be fearful
right.
of. The
right.
Lord conquered that, right.
We know that battle's won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The whole movement now is parish staff. But now, you know, after the Feast of Corpus Christi this year, now we're moving into the parishes. So the National Eucharistic Revival team is amazing.
Really?
Anybody can go on that site, Eucharistic
okay.
Revival site. I'm not quite sure the site of it, but you can get to it from our diocesan sites, diobr.org/Eucharistic Revival.
Mm-hmm,
it's pretty
mm-hmm.
easy to get to.
Right. I'm looking at it
They're
right
creating
now.
They have created a small group series, and that's where the parishes will start. We'll start in small groups with small Christian communities, cultivate
okay.
large Christian communities, right,
wonderful.
Through prayer and invitation. And then the ultimate kind of summit of everything is the Eucharistic Congress, this national congress.
This is when?
In July, next July.
Next July.
Yes,
okay.
yeah, in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Wow.
And so
you going?
Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yeah. So the diocese has, and y'all are coming too. You should.
Yeah, you know what? I think so.
The diocese has pre-purchased discounted tickets. Okay. And so those are available to the parishes that want to send a team. But individually, too, if people are interested, they need to call the diocese. There's group rates. There have hotel accommodations. All of that is happening right now for everybody to get ready to go to the Eucharistic Congress.
This thing is going to be huge.
And then before that, there's going to be Eucharistic procession pilgrimages.
Oh, yes.
That start from four points of the United States, going through New Orleans, carrying our Lord Jesus through the streets and leading everybody to Indianapolis.
Coming through here.
I am
here.
Telling you, this is going to be amazing.
Dina, we gotta revisit this.
So
part
two next
month. There's a lot going on. You got it. All right.
But
so, Dina, where
so
do they go?
diobr.org/EucharisticRevival
Amen.
To get more information. Or just call the Office of Evangelization.
Great.
Jesus.
Dina, thanks once again for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. It is three quarters past the hour on Wake Up.
It was 48 past the hour. Good to be with you on Wake Up this morning. You've tuned your heart to the truth. And if you would like one of us to come by to your church group or your event, let us know. We'll be there. We're also continuing to look for ambassadors at each parish. So if you'd like to be a part of this apostolate and that outreach, let us know. Well, you know, our Lord was a singer. He sang those Hallel Psalms on Holy Thursday night. We've been singing ever since. And Cody Roth is a modern-day singer and songwriter in the Diocese of Biloxi. Joins us now to talk about the power of music and some new songs that he's written. Good morning, Cody.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great, Cody. So excited. Good to have you back. You know, I've been kind of listening in YouTube and other places where your material is coming out, and you obviously have a calling and a talent with respect to singing and songwriting.
Praise God.
Yeah, you really do. Yes. So tell us, what do you feel the Lord's put on your heart as your goal? As you sit right now with this talent, with this outreach, what do you feel like the Lord is asking to do or hoping to do with your music?
Well, I guess over the last about 5 or 6 years, through prayer, originally about 5 or 6 years ago, I felt called to go to a little town called Medjugorje. You may have heard of it.
And okay, yes.
When I went over there, I had
special
a lot
lady
of
there.
Mystical. That's right. I heard this most beautiful woman in the world there. So I had to go, but turned out she was my mother anyway. So I went there, and I had a lot of mystical phenomenon happen that I couldn't explain.
Wow.
And since then I really have tried to dive into the approved Marian apparitions that have happened all throughout the past century or two. And so this past year, I've really decided, I said, I feel like the Holy Spirit was telling me, you need to start singing about these messages from places like Akita, Fatima, Cabejo, San Nicolas, Batania. All these places have actually been approved by the church. Now, you don't have to believe in them, but the local bishop has approved them. Medjugorje, as you guys know, is still being studied, but the faithful are, allowed to participate in it, believe in it. Personally, I believe in it. What I've done is I'm trying to use my music and write about the messages that Our Lady is calling people to through the approved apparitions, which is namely prayer, fasting, conversion, basically, the message of John the Baptist. It's almost like Mary's the new John the Baptist coming to say, okay, broken world, come back to my son. I'm inviting you gently with my motherly arms. Come back to my son. And it's just, I think the times we live in, it's like we really are living in unprecedented times that have been prophesied about. Back in the 1600s, you had Our Lady of Good Success. And that's another approved apparition from Quito, Ecuador. And in it, Our Lady prophesied to the sister, I think it was Sister Marianne, I might be saying her name wrong, but she said the 19th, 20th century would be the apex, the greatest time of sin, which would be followed by a great renewal of the church. So we're kind of stuck right in the middle of it, right? And so my goal with my music is to help as many people as possible to see the importance of conversion now, you know, and the importance of evangelization now, because it's what Our Lady is asking us to do.
So I'm curious. So one of your new songs, can you give us an example, maybe out of some of the lyrics, for example, from something that you've written recently regarding Our Lady, something you can share with us?
Yeah, I wrote a song a few years back called Adventus. It's Latin for Advent. And all the lyrics really talk about both the first coming of Christ, you know, we celebrate at Christmas every year. The chorus goes like this. I see a woman clothed in white. I see a woman clothed in sunlight. She labors to give birth to a royal child. Ready your hearts to be reconciled. But I also wrote it from the standpoint of what I had just experienced in Medjugorje and how, according to these prophecies, even the approved ones, it all points to the same thing. We're going to hit a renewal of faith soon, even though it looks so bad around us with all the bad ideologies and, you know, the woke culture and all this terrible transgenderism, all these things happening. We're going to hit a renewal that's brought on by miracles, but also by evangelization. So anyway, it's kind of a twofold meeting. It's got the original Christmas message, but also, you know, a new time is coming. Get ready. Good things are going to happen. So have faith.
Yeah, I listened to that. Was it on Life on the Rock? I think it was something. It's people can check that out. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, where can people go? You have some new YouTubes out as well and a message. Tell us about that media outreach that you're using and where people can go to kind of listen and watch.
Sure. Everything's linked to my website. So, you know, go first to codyroth.com, CodyRoth. .com. Everything's linked there. The YouTube page is at the bottom. But if you want to go directly to YouTube, all you got to do is search Cody Roth Music and my channel pops right up. And I'm trying to put out one video every week or two on a different scripture reading or subject and then throwing in a little music with it.
Wow. Okay. That's fantastic. And I understand you've got is it a private concert or something coming up? And what's the schedule look like if people want to actually go and meet you and hear you live?
Yeah, I'm having I call it a dinner concert. We're serving, I've got an ex-chef cooking, a couple cooking for it. We're going to have wine, and there's just a very simple donation of $45 per couple. And then $30 for a single person. It's going to be at a private event house in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, on July the 15th at 6 p.m. So if anybody would like to go who's listening, just email me at codyrothmusic@gmail.com, and I can get you. I've got room for 40 people. I think I've only got about 20 spots left. So I can sign you up and get you the address and all the information.
Wow.
CodyRothMusic@gmail.com. And as far as accessing the YouTube videos and your weekly reflections and songs, where do they go for that, Cody?
Just search Cody Roth Music on YouTube, and my channel is Cody Roth Music. It'll pop right up.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Cody, and keep singing the praises of Our Lady. Can't go wrong, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for having me. Such a blessing.
Oh, thank you. Keep singing. Our youth need it more than ever, Cody. Thank you so much.
Amen to that. Amen.
Yeah, well, I love the way he wants to be part of that evangelization. That's huge.
Yes.
You know, talking about how we're going to be renewed through miracles and evangelization. And he's like, and he's picked up that mantle already. You know, he's running with it. I think that is so cool.
Especially when you think our Lady, how young she was. She was a youth when the Lord appeared to her,
true.
The spouse of Christ. And so, who better than Our Lady to reach out to youth through that kind of music?
Indeed.
Well, let's call on prayer as we go out today to serve Him. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh Lord, as we contemplate Your great work throughout history in our saints, in our country, and in ourselves. May we never cease to boast of your great love for us. May we use all our talents, gifts, and time granted to us today to proclaim your goodness and to bring hope to all we come in contact with. May our reliance on your holy name and the power of your Holy Spirit, especially the Eucharist, be our weapon against the evil one who tempts us with unnatural desires and falsehoods. For by your cross, you have overcome the world. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.